Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, this is the second of our Frontline Sundays. In January, we had a Frontline Sunday, and if you were here, you'll have received a coaster like this. Does that jog anybody's memory who were here on that Sunday? Yep, we got one of these coasters. It's to remind us that God is with us in our Monday to Saturday places. So hopefully this coaster is at home or at work or somewhere where you are during the week. So there are going to be five Frontline Sundays throughout the year, and this is our second one. And this time we're thinking about how the places we find ourselves in during the week are places where God is and where God is with us. So this frontline stuff isn't about doing something additional or something new. It's not about going somewhere different. It's about noticing and acknowledging that God is with you wherever you find yourself during the week. God is already there and God is with you. And we're going to start by watching a short film. So in that video, we see how God is with us in our ordinary places. So there's a grandmother who's doing childminding. There's a plumber out at work fixing sinks. There's a volunteer football coach, and there's a businesswoman. The video's there to show us that everybody has a front line. Whether you're young or old, whether you're employed or unemployed, everybody has a front line. So in January, when we had our Church Vision Sunday, that was the service where we had a short service, we went out for coffee, and then we came back and we sat in little circles. We were talking about how the church is both a gathered church, when we gather on a Sunday, when we gather in our small groups during the week, but also a scattered church, when we are the church out there in the world, that we're still the church in those places, how the church isn't a building, the church is a group of people, and sometimes that group of people is gathered together, represented by those little red dots in the corner. It might seem like we're quite a significant part of our very secular culture, but actually, when we're out there in the world, we're interacting with that secular culture, and we're surrounded by it all the time. That has its challenges, but it also has its opportunities. So we are both the gathered church and the scattered church. Now, I've invited Cher Sun to come and share this morning a bit about her front line and how that's been changing recently. Cher Sun, would you come forward and share with us? I'm going to move this to the side so that you can stand here. I'll turn my microphone on if I need it. So, Cher Sun, do you want to start by sharing with us a little bit about how things have changed for you in terms of your Monday to Saturday recently?
Well, first of all, God is my constant. Without him, everything is shifting sand. So much has changed, as most of you would know, that I have retired from the NHS after many years in the care profession, and somehow I feel very lost, very bereft of the years of care and being part of a team. However, I'm sure God is doing good things in my life and will continue to do good things in my life. And I do complain in the sense that God, it's taken me 65 years to get here. I was talking to Phil the other day. Well, in a way, I messaged Phil because I missed his phone call asking me to do this little part today. And I said that in the past, I used to carry a name tag, as probably most of you would know, on the lanyard. And that entitled me to go into places where most people are not entitled to go into, have access to confidential information, to go places and know about people's lives, all the ins and the outs. And suddenly I find myself, from the 1st of January this year, I was no longer able to do that. That has made me feel very lost because of, it was an identification with self, the professional self. But I believe God is going to do mighty things when I let him do so, because to many people I have complained I'm bored. Retirement is not what I thought it would be, and it certainly wasn't or isn't being on holiday. It never has been. It took me 7 months to prepare myself for the 1st of January, and it's been here and it's gone. So now I'm looking to God to say, where do you want me next? What do you want me to do? And he will show me. He will show me.
Thank you, Chesun. That's great.
Okay.
Is there anything, in the midst of these challenges and changes that you're facing, anything that we could pray for you about particularly?
It's interesting to do a lot of interesting things, like having hobbies and so on. But for me, hobbies don't mean a lot. They are interesting things, but they are not fulfilling. Okay. So it has to be God's purpose and driven by God's purpose to be part of his love, kindness, generosity, all the things that God has called us to be. And I need more emphasis on that, and I'm praying and seizing opportunities to be able to share that with the world outside.
Great. Can I pray for you?
Please.
Lord, thank you for Chesun. Thank you for her openness and honesty. We pray for her in this season of change that she's just come into. We pray for her as she seeks your will as to the things you want her to be doing. We ask that your hand would be upon her, guiding her and leading her and reassuring her that you are with her and that her identity is in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can we give Chesun a round of applause to encourage her? Thank you, Chesun. So that's encouraging, isn't it, to hear about how moving from those different places of being in full-time employment where your identity is kind of quite wrapped up in wearing that lanyard and having that job title, to then moving to a place where that's sort of taken away and then you're having to sort of rebalance and rework out, well, what is it that I'm called to and what is it that I'm about? And many of you will have been through that change or changes and transitions throughout your life, so you're aware of that. In this morning's passage from Genesis, it's part of the story of Jacob. And it all starts when Abraham's son Isaac marries Rebekah. So this is going way back in the Old Testament. And she becomes pregnant with twins. And we're told that these twins fight in the womb. So even before they're born, they're brothers who are fighting with each other. Can you imagine? Me and my brother used to fight, but my brother's 3 years old. So the fights were over very quickly because he won every time. He's a bit bigger than me and older than me. But these twins, they were fighting even before they were born. So the twins are Esau, and he was born first. And apparently he was born red and hairy, which is an interesting description, isn't it? If someone would say, oh, how's the new baby? Is it cute? You say, well, it's kind of hairy all over and red, a bit like a red furball. Like, oh, it's unusual. And then there's the second twin, who's named Jacob, because Jacob means to grasp at the heel. And that's how the description of Jacob is, that he's grasping at his twin brother's heel. So even as they're being born, they continue to fight. And because Esau is the eldest, he should have received his father's blessing. But Jacob tricks his brother and his father so that Jacob gets the blessing instead. Now, this blessing doesn't just mean, oh, yeah, bless you. It means future security, inheritance, and prosperity. So it's a really big deal. So Esau, furious about this, and he sets out to kill Jacob. Families, eh? It's like a soap opera. So at this point in the passage where we read this morning, Jacob is on a journey, both figuratively and literally. So he has to leave his home because while technically he's got the blessing and the inheritance, he's been very deceitful and he's made an enemy of his twin brother, and his twin brother is out to get him. So in the midst of all this family conflict and his sort of midlife crisis for Jacob, Jacob stops on his journey to sleep. And Jacob is in a very ordinary spot. He's sort of in between two different places. And he stops for a sleep. And in his dream, he sees a stairway between heaven and earth. So it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head to lay down to sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but when I lay down to sleep, I like a nice soft pillow. But apparently, in those days, it was quite common that stones would be used. In fact, when they've discovered more about the Egyptian culture, the ancient Egyptian culture, they've realised that stones were used as pillows then. Can you imagine? It's to do with stopping the creepy crawlies getting inside your ears, apparently. Oof. Anyway, he lies down for a sleep, and it says, verse 12, that he has a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with the top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. So there's this staircase connecting heaven to earth. The angels are going up and down. And at the top of the staircase is God. And the Lord is there. And he says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And he goes on to say, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Now, this is a common thing. We've talked about this before, how God's people are blessed in order to be a blessing. So God is saying, I'm going to bless you, but it's not just about you. This is so that many, many people can be blessed. And then God goes on to say, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So it's that promise of the presence of God that is echoed again throughout Scripture. I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you. That's God's promise to us. Now, we all have dreams every night, apparently, according to the scientists. Most of the time, we don't remember the dreams. Once we've woken up, they've kind of flitting out of our head. But while we're asleep, it seems our brain does this sort of factory reset, which sometimes do with technical gadgets, where basically our brain is kind of figuring out stuff. And while it's doing that, it plays these little films in our imaginations that apparently don't last very long. And most of the time, as I say, we wake up and we can't remember them. Sometimes these dreams are quite scary, and therefore they stick in our minds. And occasionally, they're profound and meaningful. Now, this dream that Jacob had was definitely one of those profound and meaningful dreams. And we know that because it ended up in the Bible. If you think about it, before the Bible was ever written down, it was talked about. It was passed through word of mouth. So people would tell these stories around the campfire. And this story was one of the stories that stuck, that ended up in the Bible. So we know that this is profound and meaningful. So it's our job now as readers of the Bible, as followers of Christ, to work out, well, why is it profound? What is it saying to us? So in this place, Jacob sees a staircase. And it says that when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So in his dream, Jacob saw that heaven and earth were connected. This is the big revelation for Jacob. Now we see heaven and earth connected throughout Scripture. Think about the Garden of Eden, particularly through God's relationship with man and woman. So Adam, which means soil or earth, that's what his name means, and his partner Eve, they walk and they talk with God in heaven. They are connected. Heaven and earth are connected. But this relationship, this connection, becomes broken. And God keeps trying to reconnect with people And that's the story of the Bible, really, God connecting with people. So we see that in Abraham and his family. So Jacob is Abraham's grandson, and in his dream, he sees this connection between heaven and earth, of God wanting to connect with his people. And we can now see this connection of heaven and earth in Jesus. So Jesus, the Word, the Logos, the knowing, the divine, he becomes flesh, connection of heaven and earth. Heaven comes to earth. The God of heaven is born as a human baby, one of us, born to reconnect heaven to earth. And we know it as followers of Christ and children of God through the Holy Spirit. That's a way of God connecting with us through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit is poured out on all flesh, heaven and earth connecting, spirit and flesh connecting. And the Bible, of course, ends with the story of how heaven and earth will one day be fully reconnected, the new heaven and the new earth. So it's all about connection and reconnection. It's all about what the Bible is telling us that this is all heading towards. And we long for connection. As soon as we're born, we long to be held by our mother. In fact, scientists tell us that our brain development and our mental and emotional well-being depends on being held in those first few moments of afterbirth. We need to be loved and connected. Physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way, we need connection. I'm doing a baptism in the next service, and I went a couple of weeks ago to see little baby Freya, who's getting baptised later. And when I went to the house, I said hello to Louise, and Freya was playing on the floor, and I went down and sat with her. And she's just old enough where she can just about sit up. She's got all these cushions around her, but she can just about sit up. And she had her toys there, and her mum Louise was making us a cup of tea, and I sat down with Freya. Now, Freya's quite a well-adjusted, confident little baby, so she was okay with me. She was a little bit wary. She was like, who's this guy? What's he doing with my toys? And I had, you know, had some squeaky toys. I was trying to engage with her, and she was sort of looking at me, and she was working me out. But once Louise, her mum, had made a cup of tea and came over and sat with us on the floor, Freya changed, because Freya knows her mum so intimately that she was suddenly much more confident, and she kind of hutched up to her mum for a little cuddle. And she was like, is this man okay? This man with a strange collar, what's he doing here? And they had a little cuddle, and then she became so much more confident, and her face lit up. And it was an example of that connection, because Freya and her mum are deeply connected on a physical level, on a spiritual level, on an emotional level. But that need for connection that Freya has and that we needed as a baby doesn't stop when we become adults. And actually, most of the problems we see in the world around us is because we're struggling with that connection. People are struggling to connect. We are humans, and we're made for connection. We are made to connect with each other, and we are made to connect with God. I wonder if you've lost that connection with God, and whether you need to reconnect. Maybe you're going through a bit of a season where you felt a bit disconnected, and you know that it's time to reconnect. Or maybe you feel like you've never really had that connection. You've heard people talking about God a lot. You've heard lots of Bible stories. But actually, you've never really felt that connection. I want to encourage you to pursue it, to go after it, because God longs to connect with you. So reach out to God, reach out to others, and seek it. So Jacob sees this staircase, a ladder, a connection between himself on the earth and God in heaven. But what has this got to do with our Monday to Saturday lives? Jacob was not in a temple or a synagogue or a holy tent of meeting when he saw heaven touching earth. He was in an in-between place. He was in an ordinary place. Neither was he in a holy or prayerful or pious state. He was in the middle of crisis, of a family breakdown. And this was when and where God chose to show Jacob how heaven and earth are connected. It would be like having a difficult day at work where stress is piling up. It all just feels a bit too much. So you take a 5-minute break and you go outside to try and get some air. But as you go outside, all the smokers are gathered around the main entrance. So there's no fresh air there. So you go around the corner onto the main road and you just take a breath. And you recognize and remember that God is with you, even in the midst of all that stress. Or maybe you're having a hard day looking after the grandkids or your own kids, and they're making a real mess and the paints are everywhere, and you just feel yourself getting stressed and overwhelmed. But then you catch a little glimpse of them, and you're reminded that God is in those little children, in that play and creativity, and you recognize what a blessing they are. Now, in the first example, after your short break, when you've been outside of work and you've remembered God, you still have to go back into the stressful situation. But you're going back in knowing that God is with you.
And in the second example, when there's paint all over the kitchen and the kids have now given up on the paint because they're distracted 2 minutes later and they want to do something else, you've still got to clear up the paint. But you're doing it with the knowledge that you're called by God to bless and look after these children and how they're a blessing to you. So it changes not necessarily the situation, but it changes how you respond and how you are in the situation. Our reading continues. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. So Jacob's pillow becomes a pillar. Jacob takes something of the earth, this stone, which seems insignificant, there's stones everywhere, but he makes it significant because he points this stone to heaven. It becomes a pillar. Now this building, the way that it's built, is designed to lift our heads upwards. So you'll notice all the curves point upwards, the window point upwards, our eyes are meant to be drawn to the reredos, which is a painting at the back where Jesus is on the cross, but then it's meant to be drawn even higher to where Jesus is risen from the grave, and then even higher where Jesus is ascending to heaven. And our eyes are drawn upwards. And these pillars here, while they are pointing upwards, they're grounded to the earth. I mean, they have to be. It wouldn't be much of a building if they weren't, would it? And there's that connection all the time. My desire for us as a church is that we are passionate in our prayer and worship, that we are looking to God, that our hearts are pointed towards heaven, but that our feet are grounded on the earth, just like this building. These pillars, which point up to heaven, which are beautiful, they're grounded on the ground, where we are. And we are meant to recognize that connection and recognize that we are meant to have our hearts pointed to heaven, but our feet grounded on the earth. Because God calls us not to stay in this building, but to go out of this building into the world, into the everyday real world where God is and where God is with us. We're the gathered church, reminding ourselves that we belong to the God of heaven, that he loves and blesses us, but we're also the scattered church in the world, joining in with God as he brings heaven to earth. Now, last time we gave you a coaster, and this time we're going to give you a postcard. Sally and Malcolm, could you give these out, please? So this is a simple postcard, and on the front it says presence, pressure, purpose. Three words beginning with P. Presence, pressure, and purpose. And then on the back of the postcard, it's got some spaces. First of all, it says your front line. So here, you want to choose one of the places where you find yourself during the week. It might be a social group that you're part of, or a voluntary organisation where you help out, or work, or wherever it is, or looking after the grandchildren, or being a carer, whatever it is, you write on that top line. And then there's three boxes in the middle. One says presence. So how do you experience God's presence with you there? And you might want to take... So we're not asking you to fill these in now. We want you to take them away and really prayerfully fill them in. Think about how you experience God's presence in that place. Then there's pressure. What is a pressure point for you? What makes it difficult to be in that place? Maybe there's challenges and stresses. And the third box is what might be God's purpose for you right now? And that will take some thinking and praying about. There might be something that God is calling you to do in that place. Maybe if your front line is a place where there's quite a lot of gossip and people are a bit not very nice to each other, your purpose in being there might be to be a slightly different influence and showing kindness and love where other people are kind of showing gossip or moaning. That might be what God's calling you to do. And then at the bottom, there's just a little space for prayer. Your prayer might simply, Lord, help me with the above. You know, if you filled in those boxes, you're going to need God to help you with that. So please take away this card, and over the coming days, prayerfully think about how you want to fill that in and fill in those boxes. And then I'd encourage you to stick this maybe on your wardrobe or on a mirror, where each morning when you get up, you can see it and remind yourself that the place where you're going to today is a place where God is and where God is calling you to make a difference. So please take these away and use them. Thank you.